And finally tonight, last week's mass shooting in Aurora, Colorado, has reopened the debate over whether the federal government should limit the sale of assault weapons. It is an idea that was tried for a time but eventually struck down, with some arguing that no private citizen should need to own a weapon capable of inflicting such damage, but others insisting that the right to own a gun is enshrined in the Constitution and that private citizens should have a right to defend themselves, including defending themselves from the abuses of government. Commentator Playfell Benjamin has these thoughts.
As a violence-weary nation watched, the president began his homily quoting biblical scripture with such eloquence and quiet strength, it reminded me once again why these scriptures have so long endured. It is a portrait of such spiritual profundity that it can heal the injured soul. It was altogether fitting and proper that he should quote scripture, because I can conjure no secular text that can offer up a healing balm which can match its restorative power. It was an amazing grace that could even touch the soul of a wretch like me. However, after all the moving stories of selfless heroism and poignant remembrances, neither the president nor the local officials made any mention of banning assault weapons from civilians, an alarming testament to the outsized influence of the gun lobby. The mass shooting of innocent moviegoers in Colorado once again drives home the point that American society's fetish for guns is out of control, and we are all diminished by this protracted reign of terror. The latest slaughter of innocents highlights the fact that while gun violence does not happen all the time, it can happen anytime. And although it does not happen everywhere, it can happen anywhere. Alas, it is no matter that we can solve most of the problems with gun violence by simply passing much stricter gun laws, because the most powerful lobby in Washington is the National Rifle Association, and they've got all the politicians scared to death. These gun lovers will not hear of any serious controls on gun ownership. With millions of members who are voters and millions of dollars to oppose or back candidates of their choice, they have our politicians in both parties held hostage, and it has rendered our government impotent on this vital issue of public safety and national security. The gun nuts also have a strong ally in the U.S. Congress, in the emergent Tea Party, whose members have shown up at public forums brandishing guns and talking about Second Amendment solutions to political problems, and paranoid nuts like Michelle Bachmann, who announced that she wants her constituents armed and dangerous. All these people are prepared to work against public officials who vote for gun controls. Their argument that the Second Amendment guarantees such a right is ludicrous. The Constitution was drafted in a different world, an 18th century world, where the United States was a brand new nation threatened by the established and much more powerful nations of Europe. It was a time when a weak federal government could not protect us from armed foreign invaders, so civilian militias were an essential part of the nation's defense. Had the architects of the U.S. Constitution ever dreamt that federal military might would evolve into the awesome force that it is, or that guns would develop into the prolific killing machines that they have become, they would never have drawn the Second Amendment so broadly that lawyers and constitutional scholars are still squabbling about its meaning over two centuries later. Yet after all the legal arguments have been offered, pro and con, when the maniac opened fire, the people in the theater had nowhere to run and nowhere to hide, just like the rest of us. From New York City, this is Playfell Benjamin with a commentary on the Times.